God's Word this evening, I encourage you to open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We won't be looking at the whole chapter. We'll be focusing on a couple verses in the chapter. But this chapter is an encouragement to us to press on, as it were, looking forward to our eternal rest, even as we rest each Lord's day, each Sabbath day. So hear God's word from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as He has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although His works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again, in this passage, He said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again, He appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. We just end on verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this evening on your day of rest, we ask that you would help us to understand your word as it exposes our hearts, as it penetrates deep into our marrow. And Lord, help us to cling to Christ, our great high priest. We thank you for him and we thank you for this word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. There's no other commandment, at least this is my take, there's no other commandment of all the Ten Commandments that comes under more scrutiny and has been so lightly observed as the Fourth Commandment. Maybe I'm wrong. I think all of them are not observed at different times, but remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is one that I think comes under more scrutiny than all the rest. And I speak as part of the guilty, as one who forgets to remember the Sabbath day. And as I was trying to think about this, as I was reflecting, why is this the case? I was wondering to myself, why of all the commandments, all the Ten Commandments, why this one in particular? Well, you know, why does it get neglected? Why does it seem so burdensome, so trivial to us in our minds? Why do we think of it as a lighter commandment, if you will? How come when someone says the Lord's name in vain, we kind of cringe? And we should, we ought. We ought not to take the Lord's name in vain. But when we forget the Sabbath, we hardly skip a beat. Well, as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, of course, at the very root cause of this is that indwelling sin that remains in us that says, I want to be autonomous. I don't want to do what God's Word tells me to do. Right? That's sort of root pride, autonomy from God. But I think there's at least a few other reasons that stem maybe from that, but that get sort of mixed up in our problem with understanding or following this commandment. First, I don't think we completely understand why we need to follow this commandment. Why the Sabbath is important. I don't think we always understand exactly what the Sabbath is all about. You know, it says, because God rested on the seventh day, therefore we rest. It's hard to grapple with. Okay, well, why did God rest? And what does it mean to follow God in this pattern? And then I think we're also sometimes confused about the nature of the rest. Well, okay, it's easy for us to say, okay, this is the day of rest. We're to go to church and worship. We've got that down. We can say, okay, we know that that's what part of this resting on the Sabbath is about. It's about going to worship God. We all understand that. Then it starts to get a little fuzzier. You know, we try not to do any of the work or job stuff that we do the rest of the week. At least those things that are not, you know, so important. Or maybe sometimes we won't go to the store unless it's absolutely necessary. So things get a little fuzzier and we're like, what is the Sabbath? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to handle the Sabbath? We don't quite get it. Maybe you don't feel like this. At least this is how I felt. I struggle sometimes to figure out, what is it? What am I required to do? And sometimes we feel like, well, if I try too hard, I'm delving into legalism. I'm delving into nitpicky things. So we struggle. Well, I want to approach the Sabbath today from a little bit of a different angle. I want to think about the Sabbath sort of completely other than thinking about here's the do's, here's the don'ts, here's what the Sabbath is about. I want us to think about it in terms of our overall theme for these past few weeks, which has been, what does it mean to be a disciple? We've talked about being a disciple as attending to the means of grace, as growing in grace. And I want us to think about the Sabbath in this light. I want us to grow in our appreciation of the Sabbath as a day, as a forum for discipleship, a forum for growing in grace. So as we conclude our discussion on discipleship and the means of grace as the means of growing as disciples, I want us to consider the Sabbath as the arena of discipleship, a forum for the Lord of the Sabbath to grow us more and more into His likeness. And I want to do this in two ways. Two things this evening I want us to consider. First, the Sabbath reminds us why it is that we are even disciples in the first place. The very day reminds us of who we are as disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ. It's the first thing I want to unpack. Secondly, I want us to look at the Sabbath as it enables us to grow as disciples. As it prepares us. It's a day set aside to prepare us for glory. So those two things. Sabbath reminds us of why we're disciples, and the Sabbath day is a day to help us to grow in grace. After all, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so I want to take that to heart and think about it. So first, the Sabbath reminds us of why we are disciples in the first place. We're not going to look, as I already said, at the whole of this chapter. We're just going to look at different parts of it. I just want to give you a little bit of a sense. As the writer of Hebrews encourages us as believers, he's encouraging us to walk. It encourages us to walk and press on. You know, we'll look at it in a minute, but you get to Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter 11 and 12. And you have that great chapter of, and they so-and-so lived by faith. Abraham lived by faith, and lived by faith, and all these people. And then in chapter 12, you have this glorious, therefore, get rid of everything that hinders and press on. Well, this, in the same way, he's warning these Christians, saying, there's a rest that remains. You haven't arrived. There's a rest. And this Sabbath rest, this day, that we take out 1 and 7, looks forward to that end day. So, but in verse 4, I want us to consider the Sabbath. That's sort of the general sense of the text. I want us to consider the Sabbath and its origins and how it encourages us as disciples. So first, I want us to look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works." And it said somewhere in the Bible it said, "And God rested." Does anybody know where? I love the Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews. I'm sure everybody that was listening to this was like, he knows exactly where. Genesis 2:2. "After God created the heavens and the earth, we're told that God rested from all his work and that he blessed the day and made it holy because he rested from all his work." And as we think about the Sabbath, I want us to see this first, that we are reminded of who God is as the Creator and as the King. As we gather together every Lord's Day, one of the very foundational things we have to remember is that God is King, the Creator. He rules and He reigns. And this seventh day rest at creation isn't like us. Imagine us on Saturday afternoon. You've worked for 5 days and now is your day of rest, Saturday. You sit down in your Barca lounger and you're tired and you just flip on the TV. It's not what God was doing. It's not what God was doing at all. In fact, think of it this way. As one theologian put it, it's rather like a king taking one day after he's done all this marvelous work. He's taking a day and he's setting it aside and he's saying, this is a day where you stop and you pay homage to the King of Kings, and I'm going to sit on my throne after I've completed my kingly work. But this wasn't just any king. Who's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And he wants this day for royal purposes. A day when all his subjects gather around him and do royal work and think about him and his name. It's a royal rest. A royal rest. As we gather together, we rest on this day. Because we're thinking about God, our King. And as Christ himself said that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, as he calls himself in the Gospels, we have to remember that Christ, this day is not the seventh day anymore, is it? What day is today? It's the first day of the week. Why do we celebrate the Lord's Day on the first day of the week if all throughout the Old Testament it said celebrate it on the seventh day of the week? Well, as we consider not only God and His creation and His work of creation and all that He's done to provide for us and uphold His creation and govern His creation, as we sit on each day and consider that, we also now take the first day of the week as the day we remember Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, the one who completed the great work of redemption. It's His day. The day when his work was complete and he rose again from the grave, breaking the power of sin and death. We give honor and praise and glory to our Creator and our Redeemer. It's the first sort of aspect as we think about, well, what is this day all about as his disciples? Well, we're reminded about who we are following. Disciples, one who follows after, one who learns from. We are following after the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are following after our great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. But not only does it remind us of what our Creator and Redeemer has done, but also of what is to come. What is to come? You know, even as we take 1 day in 7 to rest, and to think about God and to meditate on God and to worship God and to hear God's word as we take this day and set it aside for Him, we can't help but remember that we have work to go to on Monday. It's not bad work. It's work. We're told to make and create. We're told to rule and to reign, even in our little spheres, whatever those spheres are. And yet it's work, it's toil, it's labor. And there's still all the weight of this world that hangs over it. All the struggles of sin and all the temptations and all the pain and all the suffering, all of those things still make up this world, and we still look forward to a day of rest and gladness when there will be no pain, when there will be no sorrow. So as we think about the Sabbath day, I want us to look here at chapter 11, verse 16, because in chapter 11 of Hebrews, in verse 16, as it's reflecting on all those great by faith people, right? You come to the end of the by faith chapter. Chapter 11, verse 16 says this: "But as it is," see, their faith wasn't sight in terms of their life in this earth. They still die. But their faith is sight now as they sit in glory, as they rest with their King and Creator. But this is what it says: "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." You see what our Creator King did when He established that seventh day? He said, "I'm establishing this day, and you as my subjects, as I have redeemed you, I'm preparing you for joining me in the royal court, as it were, as sons of the great King, heirs according to the promises." And He says, "I am preparing a place for you." And as we gather together as disciples and we look forward, not only do we look back and see what God has done in creation and look to see what He's done in Christ for us, but now we look forward to that glorious day, the day that is to come. And so the writer of Hebrews, after stating this, in chapter 12 and verse 1, he says this: Therefore, since this is what we're aiming at, since this is what we're shooting for, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and who is now in that eternal rest, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God." The Sabbath day reminds us of who God is as our great Creator, great King, of His Son and our Redeemer, and of our future hope for glory. That's why we press on, and as we think as disciples and what it means to be a disciple of Christ, we gather together on the Lord's Day, we think about the purpose of the Sabbath. Remember who God is and who we're disciples of. We're not just disciples. We're disciples of Christ Himself. This brings me to my second point this evening. We saw that the Sabbath reminds us of why we are disciples by pointing us to God. But secondly, the Sabbath enables us to grow as disciples. Enables us to grow as disciples, preparing us for glory. What's the nature of the Sabbath day? We noted that it was a creation ordinance. We noted that. We saw it in Genesis 2:2. But the next time you find out about it, about the Sabbath, that is in Exodus. A lot of time flies by. The people of God have left Egypt and have crossed through the Red Sea. And they've come to Mount Sinai. And God is giving them the Ten Commandments. Now, when we think about that, we think about the law, the Ten Commandments, which included the Sabbath ordinance. Remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. We oftentimes think of the law kind of narrowly, if you will. And what I mean by this is we think of it in one aspect. That is, that it exposes our sin. It exposes our sin. And it does. It points us to Christ. It exposes our sin and it points us to Christ. But I want us to think about it a little bit in a different way tonight, because it actually provides a way for holiness. Now, I want to be careful with these words, and the General Assembly of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is helpful on this point. They have a great statement regarding both the role of the law and the role of the Sabbath. It's very, very helpful. I want you to hear this. The keeping of God's commandments is the way to holiness, not because the keeper thus makes himself holy. Right? You do not become holy through the commandments, but because the observance of these commandments is the means through which the Lord works His sanctifying grace. The Sabbath was an integral part of the Lord's provision for sanctifying His covenant people. The Sabbath provision was an integral part of the Lord's provision for sanctifying of His covenant people. You hear that? It's integral. It's necessary. It's the means by which God takes and applies His grace. When we talk about the means of grace, we're saying that the Sabbath is part and parcel to it. And as we think about the Sabbath as a provision of God, remember, Jesus didn't abolish the Sabbath. I think that we're so, I don't know what it is. This goes back to my initial thoughts on the Sabbath. There's something about the Sabbath that we want to get rid of it. Maybe it's just an encumbrance. Maybe we don't like it. Maybe we just think it's nonsense. I don't know, but there's something about it. But we have to remember, Jesus did not abolish the Sabbath. He redefined it from the way the Pharisees understood it, just like He did all the other aspects of the faith. But He didn't abolish it. And as we think about the Sabbath as a provision of God for our sanctification, we must ask these questions. In what ways can the Sabbath help us in our sanctification? What ways? How can the Sabbath help us in our sanctification? Well, here are just a few things to think about. What I want us to do is I'm trying to get us off of the thinking about the Sabbath in terms of, am I allowed to do this on the Sabbath? Am I not allowed to do this? Can I do this and not do this? Because that's how we tend to think about the Sabbath. And I want us to start to think about the usefulness of the Sabbath as God's means of sanctification. Right? One of His. So here are just a few things that I was thinking about that we can think about the Sabbath. The first one is the ones we've already talked about. To remember the Sabbath as a remembrance. Get that? Remember the Sabbath as a remembrance. It's a reminder. It's a weekly reminder of God as our Creator and King and Redeemer. It's a weekly reminder that there is a rest to be entered, and we haven't entered it yet. Yes, we've given rest for our souls in Christ. There is rest for our souls in Christ now as you are redeemed. You're no longer at odds, at enmity with God, but you are at rest in that sense. But there's a rest that remains. So each day is a remembrance. And as we gather together and we think about what it means to become sanctified, remembering is a big piece. It points us in the right direction. And as each time that we gather in worship of God, as we gather together, what happens? We grow in our love and affection for our Lord and Savior. The Sabbath is also a time to be instructed both publicly and privately in the Word of God. It's a day in which set aside particularly to imbibe the Word, as we talked about. To take it in, to read it, to hear it preached, to share it with one another, to teach our kids. It's a day specifically designed for that. It's that royal day where we read the royal edict, if you will, of our great King. And we have to ask ourselves the question, do we take advantage of this? You know, I don't all the time. When Sunday morning rolls around, we rush off to church, hardly prepared, just barely making it in. We're distracted by all sorts of things when we come. We're distracted when we hear the Word. And when we go home, we forget we even heard the Word today, and we just go on with the afternoon, and then we come back in the evening. But Do we take time to think about this day as an opportunity to hear the Word and to grow in grace and to share the Word with one another? Do we take advantage of classes that are on? Do we take advantage of our time in worship, the reading of the Word and the preaching of the Word? Do we take time in our homes to discuss these things around the dinner table as we sit at dinner? Do we take the time to discuss what was preached? Simple, easy activity. Ask your children, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And they'll probably just sit there. Am I right? It's a time to encourage others in the Word of God. And this is one thing as I was thinking about in terms of the structure of the day. We have a problem with the structure of the Sabbath day. And this is not just First Reform. This is just a general observance. By the time we get to Sunday, we're exhausted. We're exhausted. We struggle in our structuring of the week to make the Sabbath a day of rest, in the sense of rest for the purpose of growing in grace and growing in God's Word. How do we structure our week so that we have time to invite people over to our houses to have meals, to share how God is working in our lives? How can we structure our week so that when Sabbath day comes, our meals are maybe prepared ahead of time, and we can just say, yeah, whoever, come on over. I'd like to share the day with you. And this goes to evangelism. This is hard. I know with young kids, I understand. I'm just thinking of this. How can we structure our day? Inviting our neighbors. Think about the opportunity. Oh, would you like to come over for Sunday dinner? Oh, sure. What would you like to come to Sunday worship with us first? An opportunity to bring the Word of God. Opening up our homes. Acts 2:42 is a wonderful picture of this. If you think about what this looks like, Acts 2:42 is a very familiar verse. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. It's a day also to show mercy. Jesus was the preeminent example of this. He was chided by the Pharisees for healing on the Lord's day. But it's a day in which we can take the gospel to bear in people's lives. People who are shut in, people who are poor. We have an opportunity on the Lord's day to even grow and help others grow. We can bring people into our homes who are needy, hungry. We can reach out with the gospel. It's a day in which we can invite others to church. These are all ways in which we can both be discipled, grow in the grace, and through the means of grace, the prayer and the reading of the Word and the sacraments, and we can not only grow in the grace, but we can help others grow in the grace, God, by bringing them in. You have neighbors who've never experienced a Sabbath, never rested, tasted, and seen the blessings of God. I know it doesn't do justice, but this is how I want us to picture the Sabbath. This picture probably is unjust. And I don't know if Rich Gardner's here, but I'm going to use him for a second. Think of the Sabbath day a bit like a well-ordered a workshop. If you've been to Rich's house, you've been into his workshop, you know what I'm talking about. It's immaculate. Well-ordered workshop. Everything in its place. The workbench is at the perfect height, neither too low nor too high. All the tools are ordered. They're on the wall hanging. All the machines are well-oiled, ready to use. The Sabbath day is a bit like this. I know it doesn't do justice, but if we think about this, all the materials ready to build. So we think about the Sabbath day as a day that was particularly designed and ordered to help us grow in grace as disciples of Christ. It's particularly fit for growing us, for helping us help others to grow. It is the perfect day, in fact. It is the Lord's day. The Lord's day. that great King. It's a day that we're reminded of who God is as our Creator and our Lord and our Redeemer. It's a day designed to fix our focus on the final day of rest. And it's a day to fit us for that day of rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to you this evening that none of us, take advantage of all the blessings that you provide to help us as disciples of Christ, to help us to follow after you, to grow and more in the likeness of you, to help others grow. We confess that we do not take the Sabbath day as seriously as we ought. But, oh Lord, we rejoice because it was a day designed to feed our souls with the glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you would help us each week prepare our hearts to be fed and to prepare us to help others. We thank you for fitting us for glory by your grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name we pray. Amen.